This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Alexis Richardson, who's on the Technical Oversight Committee for the Cloud Native Computing Foundation and the co-founder of WeWorks.
Good morning, Ian. I'm the CEO of WeWorks. We founded in 2014. We're a cluster management solution provider for Kubernetes. That's my day job. Several years ago, I was approached by somebody called Craig McCluckey at Google and asked to help with setting up the CNCF and became one of the people involved very early on and stood for election to the technical committee along with many other good people and got elected and then, somewhat to my dismay, was made chair, which I did for 3 years. Just stopped being chair a couple of months ago and now I'm very happy to still be on the TOC but not have the responsibilities of the chairpersonship, which is now being done by Liz Rice from Aqua. Nonetheless, I'm very excited about continuing to work for CNCF, which is a unpaid part-time role for everybody involved.
Last time we spoke was at Cloud Native Computing Conference out in Copenhagen last year. We talked a little bit then about what the role of the Oversight Committee is. But actually in January, after the election, it's become an incredibly powerful body looking at the names of the companies on it. Can you give us a little bit more of an insight into that?
Yeah, what's going on? You mentioned Copenhagen. There were 4,500 people at that conference, which means that it was already one of the bigger open source conferences. Now, I think in Barcelona, 1 year on, I'm hearing 9,000 or 12,000 people. So we're entering a different territory in terms of scale, which is something that I and others had always hoped we could achieve. True size and reach in terms of this body of technology and really adding value to the customer. So what it's showing is tremendous interest in the market. Concomitant with that, there's been a growth in the number of sponsors. I'm not sure if I'm at liberty to say you can probably go check with the Linux Foundation how much money is there, but the budget is now pretty big. So it's great. We've got a well-funded open source body here. And so as a result, stakes are higher. When we did the first CNCF TOC, a lot of people joined in really out of sort of goodwill because they'd been asked or been encouraged or a few people threw their hat in the ring. But quite honestly, we weren't quite sure what we were going to do. It was a bit like being a startup. We spent the first year or two figuring out why we were there in the first place, getting going with projects like Kubernetes and Prometheus and so on. Now it's much clearer what the stakes are. We are building an industry platform. It consists of a number of tools. There's something like 30 projects at the moment. There's going to be more in the future. So it's very, very good that we have an extremely experienced, engaged group of people in the technical committee. Their job is to provide rules on governance, to select projects, to figure out how to help projects, and to figure out how to help users with those projects.
The role of projects is always a complicated one. People come up with ideas, projects get supported, projects live. But sadly, in the open source world, 80 to 90% of projects fail to make that 18-month and beyond life cycle. How do you manage that process? Because you're going to have a lot of competing requests from people, a lot of competing technologies bidding for project status.
We didn't want the CNCF to be responsible for predicting the future. The TOC, although it does consist of a relatively experienced and pretty bright group of people, I would not bet on them to make any better predictions than anyone else I know about which technology is going to be the winner in 5 years' time. Recognizing that uncertainty, it makes sense to allow a relatively open foundation, which means already we have a number of different projects which overlap with one another. They may evolve to be competitors. One may die off. They may evolve in different directions. They may ultimately support different use cases or markets. A good example is Envoy and Linkerd, which are two projects in the service mesh space. The same is true of new projects. What normally happens in technology is that there are incubators, experimental projects from large companies, somewhat collaborative things between large companies, which may get announced with great fanfare and then be swept under the carpet a few months later, like British politics. We have this thing in the CNCF called the sandbox. There are a number of other names proposed, some a little bit ruder than sandbox. But the general idea is these are seed-level projects which could be brand new. They could literally be three organizations saying, we want to work together on this thing. We need the trusted Linux Foundation to support the intellectual property rights and prevent us from tripping over each other in terms of who did what. For example, you might have Google and Microsoft collaborating on something. Alternatively, you might have a startup which might not even exist as a company, but could be three industry colleagues who start hacking on some code, and then people start using it unexpectedly, and they think, we could maybe form a company around this and start doing consulting services and support. And who knows, we might go after some VC money, and so they might say, let's start a project. And they might think, well, could we be in the CNCF? And the sandbox exists for projects that are not ready for serious due diligence. They just don't have enough users to come under the CNCF umbrella so that they can be coached in how to get further along. I mentioned earlier Linkerd and Envoy. Those are relatively mature projects compared to these sandbox projects. If one of them ceases to exist, I'll be quite surprised. They may, as I said, go in different directions, but in the sandbox, we actually predict that a certain number will just disappear after a year or two. So really, the sandbox, you could expect something to be there for a couple of years, and then what should be happening is momentum should be visibly building up around the project, and it should be putting itself forward for acceptance into the real CNCF incubation stage, which is then the gateway to graduation. And graduated projects are the gold standard. There's a few of them. We were so concerned about rubber stamping something with graduated that we made no graduated projects on day zero. So Kubernetes remained in incubation for ages. And then finally we started to say, okay, what are the graduation criteria going to be? And we want incubation to be a really high bar and graduation to be even higher. And they're things like, has a real number of production users? We talk to the production users and they tell us, this stuff really works. We are betting the farm on it. And that's just to get into incubation. And then graduation is more around showing that there's a real community, the longevity of the project is relatively assured. And I think we could do more. I mean, we could have business metrics coming in. Like, I've been thinking that maybe we should have a kite mark which says this project has got at least three companies that will sell you commercial support. For instance, I think that would be something that would raise confidence of an end user. But at the moment, all of our concerns are technical. So in summary, three tiers: sandbox, incubation, graduation. The real projects are in incubation, graduation. Those are the ones we believe should be around for a while. Sandbox, high risk. If you want to use it, great, but treat it as essentially alpha software, please. And don't point the finger at us if it goes wrong.
One of the problems with graduating projects is sometimes projects can become, to the public, bigger than you are. Kubernetes is a good example here. Your conference is co-branded as CNCF and KubeCon. If I was to go out there today and we were to talk to a dozen people and ask them about CNCF or Kubernetes, they'd know about Kubernetes. They wouldn't necessarily name yourselves. How important is it to you that people understand that you are building that underlying platform on which these projects sit?
Different audiences have different requirements in terms of buying into a future technology direction. From the CEO level down, what we want with CNCF is that the boardroom at a large company is aware that there's some new technology out there that can make a difference to them in terms of lowering cost, improving velocity, digital transformation, agility. That's kind of McKinsey type buzzwords. But they're important because we want the ability of the people who are spending money on new technology to put a business case together and go to the business owners and say, you know all that crazy stuff you read about in the newspapers? Enterprise Times is telling you all about this. Well, this is what we want to spend money on, and here's why it's important. And then they'll be able to gain a support for that. There will always be a business case on a case-by-case basis, but also the business will want to know, is it risky to invest in this? And they'll be able to say, no, the CNCF is supported by Amazon, Google, and Microsoft, and IBM. This is an ubiquitous technology. We saw this before with the web. There was a time when the CEOs were like, this is piffling rubbish. And then by 97, they're seeing people go IPO and thinking, we should be a web company as well. You need that very high level concept that the business buys into. And then you go one level down in the organization. We're talking about the CIO and the CTO. In a large company, they're going to be far too busy to care about the details of a lot of the individual projects. So you need one or two things that are actually technical that they can hang their hats on. So I think Kubernetes plays that role. Have you heard of Kubernetes, Docker, and containers? Thumbs up, good, we can move on now. And then when you get down to the individual teams, you've got the different units within tech. So you've got obviously dev and ops, often brought together into more DevOps-y merge teams, but you've also got people responsible for continuous delivery and pipelines, operations, which may be segmented into monitoring, tracing, logging, and other observability, app platform, runtime, security, storage. There's usually seven or eight things in a large company. Because they've all been listening very carefully to McKinsey's advice over the last few years, in order to become more agile, they've often made those units quite autonomous. Once you've got somebody bought into cloud native, Velocity, and Kubernetes, the next step is to go talk to one of the business units. And they're only going to be interested in one thing, pipelines or the runtime or security. And that's when you need to go to the next level of detail. So in the CNCF, recognizing this, in order to scale, what we've done is we've introduced special interest groups, following the model pioneered by Kubernetes project itself, which is the flagship project, and also some other organizations. I think OpenStack may have SIGs or PMC, similar concept anyway. And these are subunits with a dedicated section of the community associated with a verticalized piece of functionality. So continuous delivery being one, which is going to encompass anything from, you know, dev tools all the way through to continuous deployment, next-gen CI, that kind of thing. Then you've got observability, which is monitoring, tracing, logging. And then you've got setting up the security SIG right now. I need to go and vote on the charter. Storage charter got voted through yesterday. So these things are just popping up. This will mean that we now have essentially a meta foundation and then streamed activities underneath. The hierarchy will then be cloud native for business folks, Kubernetes for senior tech folks. And then once you get down to the level of people who actually do stuff and get paid for it, hooray, you're going to be talking about the individual projects. But above that, people don't need to know about it, do they?
But you talk here about a platform, and all these things make a platform. But if I look at the open source space, I can also look at open infrastructure, which has moved from just being OpenStack and gone back to now encompassing Ceph and a bunch of others. Many people are using technologies from both yourself and them, plus a bunch of other people out here. How do you balance a customer view of simply wanting integration, smoothness, and efficiency with different governance models, different growth paths, and different ownerships?
Let's remember the CNCF is not a commercial organization. Its role is to create the conditions in which a market can happen. And that's why the people who benefit from that market happening put money into it, whether they're vendors or end users. We want to make sure that the foundation is a good place for projects and education and users to come together with open source community around a cloud native platform, which isn't necessarily a single stack, because one stack doesn't fit all problems, but it's a set of tools that is a consistent tool chain that will probably become more consistent over time as the use cases become clearer and some of the uncertainties fall away. Back to your question, the job of the foundation is not necessarily to provide vertically integrated solutions for that, nor even to provide a single project that encompasses all the others. This is in contrast with OpenStack. One could talk for a long time about areas where OpenStack well and badly, but I think one of the areas where I think they got into trouble was they had one project which encompassed all the others at one point, and so that really slowed things down because you were trying to integrate everything into a single whole thing, which meant that you couldn't make decisions separately in individual sub-projects without consulting the parent. I mean, I may be misunderstanding or mischaracterizing, but that was my impression, whereas in the CNCF, we very explicitly say individual projects can basically do whatever they like. If the market, if customers are saying, hey, Prometheus, Kubernetes, you need to work together more, the projects will hear that message from customers because we're acting as a funnel for information, and they'll do the job themselves of integrating as needed by individual users. And then vendors like Weaveworks or IBM or Amazon will come up with their own ways of assembling these tools into larger commercial offerings that customers want. And they'll do that by specializing in different areas that customers pay for. What are those? So number one, you've got the humongous cloud providers. I think it's fairly obvious what they do. They take everything and they run it for you. Then you've got the vertically integrated big software providers. I'm not sure if we're allowed to say IBM Red Hat yet, because I think they're still going through the monopoly diligence. But should there be a single entity there, that will be a machines, OpenStack, RHEL, OpenShift, and what have you on top, potentially. And they'll have a cloud edition on SoftLayer, and they'll have IKEs, the IBM Kubernetes subservice, and so on. The other one, of course, is Dell, with Dell boxes, EMC, VMware, Pivotal. They acquired Heptio for Kubernetes. They acquired Bitnami yesterday. So that's another vertically integrated system for on-prem and in the cloud, but not a dedicated cloud provider. So that's the first two, and they're probably the biggest players. That's players, obviously, also Fujitsu, Huawei, Alibaba. And then you've got another really interesting group of companies, such as ourselves, who are startups. We can't do what IBM can do. So instead of offering a vertically integrated solution, we typically go after best-of-breed buyers. And there are plenty of those, because everybody who's tried the vertically integrated route is now wary of getting locked into one vendor. They're also saying the same thing about individual cloud providers. A realistic customer will say, yes, we want to move to the cloud. And we're quite happy to pick one cloud and kind of bet the farm on it. But we also want to know that it won't cost us more than $50 million to move to another cloud if we really had to. We discovered recently, what is it, Apple's monthly budget on Amazon is something like $40 million, they said, or 30. It's huge numbers. But if you were to say it would cost you about a month or two to move, if you're a trillion-dollar company, that's probably okay. There are these people who don't want to be locked in. They want to have a degree of portability, and that creates demand for the best-of-breed vendors like ourselves. And then, of course, you've got the end users who often do things themselves. So there's a really interesting set of opportunities created by this approach to the market. The foundation makes sure that the technologies are in one place, and the vendors do the bits that you describe to make it something that customers can use. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. How does that then work for you? Here you are picking solutions at a commercial level with Weaveworks. At the same time, here you are involved in CNCF, where you've got to think about projects and other things that people bring to you. When you're trying to match the two up, do you find that there's perhaps a tendency to say, we like that project, maybe we should be looking at it commercially, or even the other way around, you've started to look at other technologies and you think, do we have a gap here from a CNCF perspective that I should be taking forward in my role as a member of the TOC?
Not really. There just isn't time to stop to that level of connection. For example, Weaveworks is sufficiently small that I'm not going to ask the company. It's just not fair on the team to say, well, there's this brand new project in the CNCF. It looks really exciting. We should add it to our product, because they just can't. It doesn't make sense. Our products are quite narrow around config management, cluster management, deployment, and a bit of monitoring. That's it. There could be some really cool stuff around security, or there's a project called Ori that the CNCF has just started to look at for doing secure identity authorization, authentication, things like OpenID and OAuth stuff. We might find that useful, but only because it solves a problem that we already have, not because we want to now become OAuth vendors or something like that. So that doesn't really happen. And then the other way around, it does happen occasionally that somebody in the Weaveworks team will say, ooh, look at this project. But that's only because they're techies and they're doing that all the time. So that provides me with some useful information, which I think can make me a better member of the TOC. The other thing about the TOC is, remember, there's 9 people with votes, and then there's a wider community of people who are contributing who don't have a vote, but otherwise have the same voluntary status as the voting members. And it's a duocracy, so the more you do, the more you're contributing, the more you're heard, usually. Therefore, really, realistically, there's probably about 20 or 30 people in the conversation around which projects matter who are volunteering to do DD or helping to source projects. So really, that's many more than I could possibly influence on my own, even if I tried to, which I don't.
You mentioned earlier you were about to go and talk to people about the security charter that you're bringing on board. One of the things that got me quite excited in Seattle last year at the conference was listening to Liz Rice and the KubeSec teams talking about, we've got to stop saying shift left for security and put it into the framework. It's the ultimate shift left, in the same way as we don't tell developers to write a network driver anymore. We don't tell them to think about how you're going to talk to mobile devices. It's just assumed that it is there.
Yeah.
And the whole focus seemed to be about assume security is there. So when you look at these extensions to where you are and you look at new components you want to bring in, such as security storage, how much do you talk to the existing projects and say, look, this is what we need to look at from a platform perspective for CNCF. What do you have? Where do you see the wider picture for this particular component?
One reason we're doing the SIGs is to scale the CNCF, so the TOC is not a bottleneck. Another reason is to encourage diversity of contribution. That includes the industry diversity inclusion, traditionally underrepresented minorities, but also people who aren't necessarily working on a project or for a vendor. For example, if you were writing for a security magazine and you'd spent your career studying security and you were basically expert in it, you could easily participate there. And that's very useful because we want an end-to-end perspective as well. We don't just want to have people talking up their book and saying, well, we should do X, and then it turns out X is a feature of the next release of their product. We do want people thinking about how users are impacted by security issues. I personally am skeptical about security being invisible, just because it is an end-to-end problem. And ultimately, you've always got the kind of, I forgot to lock my top drawer of my desk, which has got all my passwords written on a piece of paper issue, and so on. And the issues of malicious or users are tired or emotional, who can cause security holes in systems otherwise. To answer your question, there are a lot of things changing. The SIG is full of people who are really intimately familiar with many aspects of the security story. Folks who are working on security within organizations like Docker, who understand when is a container really secure, and which security issues should we care about and which not. Folks who are thinking about CD pipelines. Gartner published a really good piece on CI as a threat vector to your organization, pointing out that one of the problems with using tools like Jenkins is if you're not careful, if you have Jenkins accessing production, somebody getting into your Jenkins estate can then get into your production estate. Now, this is not news, but they wrote a very thorough exegesis of the whole sector. You need people like that in the conversation around security as well. And then you need people who actually write code, who can fix the problems that you identify, and so on and so on. Really important to have diversity and breadth, and that's what the SIGs are all about, creating a focal point for.
Enterprises get told they've got to go to cloud, but the reality when you talk to the big vendors is they're seeing between 10 and 20% of workload has made the move in some form or another. That might be a partial lift and shift, it might be some things have been rewritten properly, but there's this massive 80%. What is it that you see as being the inhibitor, and what can the CNCF do to help accelerate that move?
Cloud can come to enterprise more than it has done, either directly with hybrid on-prem edge computing or indirectly through bundles in traditional vendors through the back door. People like, I think Dell and IBM are looking to do that. That will probably introduce efficiencies into the data center. People won't think of themselves as buying data centers anymore. But I do think that we're going to see a resurgence of buying metal and putting it in your building or next door. That, I think, is extremely interesting, and I think the CNCF can help by being a focal point, creating a conversation, a marketplace, and a community where people who are spending money on applications, solutions, and tools then realize they might need some stuff to run it on. And so there's a natural role for the cloud vendors, the vertically integrated folks, the traditional managed service people, to then join that conversation and say, well, funny you should be saying all this interesting stuff about Kubernetes on-prem. Would you like to see our amazing Kubernetes in a box solution? I met with an organization very recently in New York, is thinking about dropping mini data centers based on ARM chips using drones in Africa for a number of reasons. Very interesting, yeah. Can't say more. But you can sort of see how once you've got truly portable data center technology, you could start to do computing on demand in a whole new way. The other area where the CNCF can help is straightforwardly, cloud native is about flexibility for the enterprise. It was very frustrating that you would write an app, you'd put it on a VMware VM, and you couldn't run it on Amazon. So, okay, that's partly solved by Amazon supporting VMware VMs, but that's not really what we were looking for. What we're looking for is a way of packaging applications so they could be run anywhere, regardless of what language they were written in. Containers provide that, and that's therefore an evolution of cloud to be more acceptable to the enterprise and remove the blockers that you described.
If we look forward over the next year, what are your priorities?
I can tell you what the TOC's priorities are. They are as follows. Number one, we need to make the SIGs successful. So we've just set them up and we endured a certain amount of pain in the process. We had to set aside other work like accepting projects, put that on hold for a bit. Now that we've created the SIGs, we need to get them to be autonomous in the right way, dependent on the TOC in the right way, functioning well, an exciting place to be if you're a member of the vendor and user community. That's job one. Job two is we have existing projects that are now in the CNCF doing well. How can we help them more? How can we attract more fantastic projects? How can we take projects if they're struggling with anything and make them successful? And finally, sadly, from time to time, projects, as in the sandbox case, even graduated projects can just run out of road one day. They stop developing, they become mature. Should we elevate them to a kind of emeritus status or decide the project actually needs to be shut down? So there's all of that project health, project management to do, really important. And then the third priority is to start readmitting projects and fill out the gaps. Have a whole set, a complete tool chain. We've got gaps in our current portfolio and we need to fill them. That's the job for this year.
Alexis, thank you for talking to me.
Thank you very much.